Amen. Now take your Bible. Go into the book of Romans. Familiar scripture. Romans chapter 12. I preached off of verse 1 several times. I want to preach off of verse 2 this morning. And I pray the Lord will give us a little out of verse 2, a little thought that we might share in your heart. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verse 1 and 2. We'll stand and read it together, but we'll take our text from verse number 2. The Bible said in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice verse 2. And be not confounded or conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want to preach on this morning the last four words of that verse 2. Perfect will of God. You can be seated. Father, give us what we need. I pray, God, this morning that the power of the Spirit of God might deal with our heart. Open heaven on our soul, God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God. This message will be of no good. It'll be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal without the unction of the Spirit of God. And I pray, Father, this morning that you might anoint it to use it, God, for your glory and honor, to wake us up, to move us, to motivate us, to activate us, God, into the work of God. The Lord, we might get where we need to be for your glory and honor. That you'll be praised in the midst of our lives. Father, make people see Christ in us. And we give you the glory for it. I pray, Lord, now touch us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you in the perfect will of God? I want to talk about that for a minute. If I ask that as a whole, you probably say, yeah, I'm in the will of God. But if I could get you off somewhere by yourself and ask you, are you in the will of God? Some of you may say yes. Some of you may say, I don't know. Some of you might say, I hope I am. But then if I stress it a little closer and say, can you look me in the eye and say that, preacher, I am in the perfect will of God? I believe that may change things. Now somebody said, preacher, I'm not in the perfect will of God. I'm in the permissive will of God. I would somebody take their Bible and show me where that word permissive will is. Amen. When you say permissive will, you might automatically think, well, God just let me get by with it. So God's putting a sanction on me not doing right. Then that's not so. God only wants you in one place, in the perfect will of God. That's where God wants you. He don't want you short of that, and you can't get no better than that. But God wants you in the perfect will of God. You said, but I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. That's where God wants you, in the perfect will of God. Now you said, now does it mean He wants me to be lost? No. He wants you in the perfect will of God. Now preacher, the will of God is for believers. Before I get through preaching this morning, you'll find out what the perfect will of God is, I hope. To a certain extent. Amen? Now, I want to look at this. I want to tell you this. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this building is destined to go to heaven or hell. You're not going somewhere else. Ain't but one way to get to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not but one way to go to hell, and that is deny Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. There's no in-between ground. Everybody in this building, man, woman, boy, or girl, we're in this world, we come in by the womb, and we leave out by the tomb. Brother, one course of action broke from the time the womb till the tomb, brother, the decisions that we make between the womb and the tomb will determine where we're going to spend eternity. And it's your choices and your decisions. And I want to look at it kind of like this morning. Our life, every one of us, we have lives. Every one of us are living. Amen. Anybody here thinks you're dead? Raise your hand. We're going to come and give you some oxygen or something. Because you're still sitting here. But I believe everybody's alive. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Pinch yourself and see if you're alive. If you are, praise God. Amen. Now I want to say to you this morning that we have two stages in our life. Now I want to look at it like this. Two stages. One stage is from the time that we're born until the time that we choose Christ or become redeemed or saved by God's grace. That's phase one in everybody's life. Phase two starts from the time that they're made a brand new creature until the time of the rapture or the time of the grave. That's stage number two. The bad thing is, most people in this world will never get out of stage one. They'll never experience what stage two is. They are still working. Some of them are trying to get from the tomb, from the womb up to the place that they can have salvation, be redeemed, and many of them spend their whole entire life and stumble over the simple things of God and die and go to hell. I know when I preach, most folks are not going to listen to me. When I get through today, some of you go out, you heard this and you heard that. But some of you hear this and that, one little thing may stick with you. But most of you will forget what I've said by sundown. Amen. You know why? Our minds are not on the things of God. But let me give you some things. Brother, from the time that we're saved by God's grace, brother, from that time to the time that we leave this world, if you are saved, there's a place that God wants you to be, and that is in the perfect will of God. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe today people are living like they did in the last chapter of Judges and the last verse of Judges. The last verse of the last chapter said they did that which was right in their own eyes. And Proverbs chapter 14, the Bible said this. It said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. And many are doing that today. They're following in that way of the works, trying to find themselves in the place and the will of God. Now what does the Bible say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2? What's it say? It said in the last part, the brother God wants us, and he talks about it, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove which or what is that good and acceptable and what perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? Amen. To be saved, satisfied, and full of God, and living for God, and knowing God with all your soul, and headed to heaven. That's the perfect will of God. Amen. You said, but preacher, the lost man or woman in this building, he can't find the perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God for the lost man? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is the will of God for your life if you're lost and know not Jesus? To be saved. That's the perfect will of God for your life. Amen. And then after that, we'd start getting into other places. Now we read in the Word of God that Adam, now let me give you this, Adam was in the will of God. Amen. I believe in the perfect will of God for a short time. I don't know how long Adam walked in the garden in the cool of the day without sin. I don't know how long he walked that way. But one day he fell. And when he did, God put him out. But then I find some others coming along. You know, guess what happened? There was Abel, by the way. Got killed. The first one that lost his life. Cain, the first murderer. You just find that in the Word of God. And brother, somebody said, if we don't have the gospel, then man will be left alone. No telling, what do you do? They didn't have the gospel in the garden. They had the Word of God. The gospel, as we know, because Christ didn't die. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That's what I'm preaching today, that Jesus came in this world, died for your sin, went to the cross of Calvary, and then was buried, and on the third day arose, victorious, ascended back into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and there he is today making intercession. That is the gospel, my friend, and that's what I've been preaching for these 40-some years. Brother, that's what we have. But listen, nobody preached it to Abel. Nobody preached it to Cain. But I'll tell you what I did say. God said it's going to be a blood sacrifice. God told that to Adam. Adam told that to his sons. And Cain knew that, and Abel knew that. But Cain did not want to have that. What did he want to do? Do what was right in his own eyes, as I said a while ago. So guess what? Here came humanity, came on down. And for what? 1,500 to 2,000 years? Well, the man just got worse and worse. And in the sixth chapter of Genesis, the Bible said, there's only evil continually. There was sin on every hand. And God said he repented and even made man. And he sent a flood to drive them all away. And brother, take them out of this world. And they perished in the flood. Now there's multitudes of people. Read your Bible. There's multitudes of people on the face of the earth. The earth was populated 1,500 to 2,000 years. I'll guarantee you there's a lot of people born in that length of time. And so this world had a lot of people in it. And a lot perished. And only 8 people survived the flood. That meant that they were not listening to God, paying God no attention. Then God raises up the crowd again and they take off. And it's on up into Abraham's day, and it's all idolatry in Abraham's day. And God pulled out the Jew and brought him forth. I want you to notice this morning, brother, that man left alone, he just continues to sin and sin and sin. But God said I'm going to send a Redeemer. And then in the Gospels we find Christ came and died for us. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you this morning, brother, people are going every which way but the right way. Amen. To get saved. Now the perfect will of God, how are you going to know it? If you're a lost man, how are you going to know the perfect will of God? If you're a saved person, how are you going to know the perfect will of God? How are you going to know what God wants for you? If you're lost, how are you going to know what God wants for you? How do you know? How do you know anything? Well, you've got to have a road map. You're going to go somewhere up and down this country, you've got to have a road map, have you? Most in this modern day, we've got GPS systems. Amen. GPS. I'm glad God started that for you, for the world did. He's always known where man was. Nobody's ever hid on God. Well, if you got a road map, you said, "Boy, give me a road map, I can get anywhere." I've looked at some of the road maps and I can't figure them out. So you can give yourself a road map if you want to, and then you're still going to have more than a road map. Somebody's going to have to explain that road map to you. Somebody gave me a little GPS system one time, and I was headed off down toward Athens down here. I mean, I was going, and it was telling me, it said, "Now, in 500 yards, turn right." And I looked down, and I turned right. And it said, "Follow straight to for 21.6 miles. And I traveled. Next thing you know, it said, "In 500 feet, turn left." And then in a few minutes, everything went this way. Is it going like that? And I'm running on, and it's done told me, and I just kept going. And next thing you know, it's come back on target. And I got to look, and you know what had happened? They had redone the road. They had redone the road, and that little GPS hadn't been updated. So your road maps and your GPS has to be updated every once in a while. But I want to tell you, God has given us a road map on how to get to heaven. It's called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. And you said, "I can't understand it." That's right. But I want to tell you, He's given you somebody to help you. And that's called the Holy Ghost of God. And God has put us in the church, give us a Bible, and give us the church to go into, and a preacher to preach to us, to guide us, to tell us how to get from earth to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that right? Amen. So I got a good road map. Thank God I got what I need. I praise His name for it. Now, take your Bible for a moment. I just use Romans 12:2 as a stepping place for the will of God. But I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 7, a very familiar portion of Scripture. We're going to pick up some things and see how things are. Now, I want you to be in the perfect will of God. God wants you to be in the perfect will of God. For the lost, that is to be saved. And for the saved, that's for you to be sold out to God. Amen. And that just means that God is number one in your life. Now, go into Matthew chapter 7. Slide down into verse 21. Now, I'm going to read 3 verses here. I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to pay attention to what God has to say. God has given us this in His roadmap. In chapter 7, in verse 21 of the book of Matthew, he says this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" They've asked three questions there. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now there's several things I can point out to you in looking at this scripture, but I want to point out two things in the first verse there, verse 21. Notice these two phrases. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into," look at those next three words, "kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven. And then it said, "But he that doeth the," notice the next phrase, "will of my Father." Now what is the will of the Father? What did I tell you it was a while ago? Amen. For the lost man, it's what? To get saved. Amen. And then for the saved person, it's to be surrendered and sold out to God. The world don't have nothing to do with you. The flesh don't have nothing to do with you. The devil don't control you. You're controlled by heaven alone. That's to be sold out to God. Now, you see what the will of God... Notice those two things. Also in this verse of Scripture, we're finding these verses, we're finding this. You're going to find Sunday school teachers. You're going to find preachers. You're going to find deacons. You're going to find church members. You're going to find all kinds of so-called, quote-unquote, Christians in this chapter. Now, one that's born again will not have to stand there and beg for his and plead for his cause. But you're going to find somebody in verse number 22 that's going to have a Bible under their arm, so to speak, and have had in their life on this earth. And they've taught Sunday school, preached in the pulpit, done things in the church, and carried the right kind of Bible, went to the right kind of church, had the right kind of activities, dressed right, taught right, lived right. But they didn't have Jesus inside their heart. And He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I what? Never knew you." It's not some that has been there and lost it. Now some folks that teach that this is where you lose and you can lose your salvation and you can be saved and then stand before God because you sinned against God and got lost again. There's no such thing. You're either lost or saved. There ain't nobody in this building that's half saved or half lost. Nobody, amen, either way in the halfway. God's not in the halfway business. He does it all. Brother, He saves you. You're either saved or lost. Amen. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're either one of His children or you're not one of His children. Amen. And so that's the way it is. So we look at this. We're talking about the will of God. That's what we're talking about. Now, I want you to look at the little phrase, kingdom of heaven. Also mentioned sometimes as the kingdom of God. Now I want to talk about for this in just the next minute or two and talk about three types of kingdoms that you're finding. And these are the types of kingdoms. Three types of kingdoms. Number one, there's the kingdom of Satan. Write this down. There's a kingdom of the devil. And I'll give you some scripture on that. The Bible teaches us in the Word of God that there is the kingdom of Satan. The Bible said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 18. Write this scripture down. Luke chapter 11 and verse 18 said, "If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand?" So that means that the devil has a kingdom. What does he do in his kingdom? Well, where did it get started? His kingdom was in, got started in heaven. He was created as a archangel. And there he was. He rose up one day in the book of Isaiah. The book of Ezekiel tells us that he rose up and said, "I'll take God's throne." And he begins to say, I had a problem with his eye. And then, well, guess what? God cast him out of heaven. But what he done is he deceived a portion of the angels and he took them with him. And now what's he do? He's got a kingdom among them demons. Are them devils, that's what a fallen angel is. It's a demon or a devil, if you will. And He's got His little kingdom. Not only has He got angels in His kingdom, but He's got others that have come along and followed after His pernicious ways. And today He's got others that are walking with Him in His kingdom. This crowd today that magnifies Satan. This crowd that lives after Satan. This crowd today that glorifies Satan. Brother, they are of His kingdom. So a kingdom in this world, number one, is a kingdom of the devil. Well, there is a kingdom of the devil. Secondly, there's a second kingdom. There's a kingdom of men. Men have kingdoms. Now, we've been studying in our prophecy and some things, especially when you get to the book of Daniel. And I'm not into that today. I'm just talking about the kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Satan. Secondly, there's the kingdom of man. And man has a kingdom. He does. He has a kingdom. So man was put in the garden. When God put man in the garden, what did He put him in there to do? To glorify Him. Amen. To dress and to keep the garden. I believe he had enough of the glory of God shining on him. Brother, somebody said he went down picking off the bad leaves of the roses. He went down kicking off the bugs and the flies out of the garden. Hey, wake up, smell the coffee. There wasn't no bugs and no animals, and there wasn't no bad flowers when he walked through the garden. Brother, the glory of God, you know what? How in the world can he dress and keep a garden that has no problems? I'll tell you why and how. The glory of God was on him, and when he walked up to a rose, the rose began to shine from the glory off of him. He dressed and kept the garden, but he lost that glory of God. Amen. Now you learn that, it'll help you. Amen. And ever since then, he walks up to a rose, and if he gets his hands on it, he gets stuck. Because that's from the fall. Roses never had no thorns till after the fall. Amen. He wasn't walking through a little spray gun ortho mix spraying for flies and bugs and mosquitoes. Amen. Wasn't no blood suckers then. Amen. He walked in the cool of the day, and God came down with him at the cool of the day. Amen. And he was clothed with a Shekinah glory. All right. Guess what? God had to cast him out, put him out. And God had him in the garden for three things. Put this in your notes. Number one, he wanted man to be happy. Number two, he wanted him to be holy. And number three, he wanted him to be healthy. And Adam and Eve both were that way. They were happy. They were holy, and they were healthy. They had never seen a doctor, never had an ailment, never had no disease. Amen. That's right. Before the fall. But then after they were cast out, all the curse came on them. So that started the kingdoms of men. We'll find out the first kingdom. Actually, we talked about it the other day in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 10, verse number 10, Nimrod made a place called Babel. Brother Babel, that's been the stem of every cult, been the stem of every false doctrine, been the stem and the start of every false religion in the world. Every false religion that denies the Word of God started back in Babel, been going since then, ever since that hour. And it's but to glorify man. It's of the kingdom of men. You with me? And brother, we'll find that in the Word of God. God established that way. Matter of fact, that's how you get the evolution. Evolution. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. I would say it's page 1 of your Bible. But I got to look and it's page 3 of mine. But go to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you something here this morning. I was reading after some feller. And he come along and he's reading and he's trying to explain things. And he said, I'm a proponent of creation by evolution. And I thought, now how can you have that? And he went on down and he said that he held to the thought of what he calls theistic evolution. I said, what in the world is theistic evolution? Now, the Bible said in this day's last days would have people be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I put him in that category. What is theistic evolution? Here's what they say theistic evolution is, and I know it don't make no difference, but I want you at least know about it. I don't want Dr. Bottle Stopper to tell you down the road, and you say, "My preacher ain't never said nothing about that." Hey, man, I want you to at least know about it. And if you never hear it, you might just think I'm just off the wall and go on with it. But anyhow, Here's what he said. He said he believed in evolution, that man evolved, but God was in control, and that's the way God planned for man to get here. And I said, he's an idiot. Amen. That's what I say. He put a God-like term on a rotten term and tried to make it righteous. But I want to look here. Chapter 1 in verse 1 of Genesis said, in the beginning, God... Now what? Say it with me again.
Created
the heaven and the earth. Now what does it mean to create? Now I take this little handkerchief and I tear it apart, and if I was real good and I could fold it up some way and I could make a little hat out of it and put it on my head, and I say, I created a hat. You said, no, no. I made a hat. Right? Yeah. Created means that you take nothing and make something. So, making. Now, the Bible said, in the beginning, God made. No? No, did I miss it? In the beginning, God created. That means He took nothing and made something. In this particular verse, verse 1, what did He make? He made a world. He made a world, did He not? He made a world. So we find it here. And in that world, He done some... Matter of fact, if you want to put it into a more precise word, He made a physical universe. God made a physical universe. There was nothing there, but God made a physical universe to appear. Didn't evolve. It appeared. Now go to verse number 21. When you get to verse 21, read with me. Now creation was in stages. I don't know whether you know that or not. Took 7 days. Amen. 6 days. As a matter of fact, to make the earth. And then the seventh day God rested. But in them 6 days, there were some stages in that creation. But in verse 21, what does it say? And God... created. That means He didn't take anything else that's already made and make the animals. It meant He created them. You got me? Amen. That's what it means. Now, if you want to look at the physical universe, God made that in chapter 1 in verse 1 and down through verse number 20. But in the course of that, He made He made the trees and the plant life. Go back and read it. The trees and the plant life are made in the first 20 verses. But there's nothing there now but plant life and a creation. And now in verse number 21, God makes the animals. He said, God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth. That's how the waters, abundantly, after their kind and ever what? Winged fowl, that's the birds, and his kind, and God saw it was good. When you get on down to verse 24, He said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. That's when He made the animals on the earth, down to the butterflies and the flies and everything else. Amen! You see the creation? Well, of course, this is in the garden, and we'll take them flies back out. Them flies come later. If they'd had any flies in the Garden of Eden... they're sitting over there glorifying God. They wasn't biting man and wasn't buzzing in his face. You said they were there, I don't know. But I know there wasn't no pest or nuisance to man. Now we got that. Let's go down to another verse in chapter 1. Go down with me now to verse number 27. God created the heavens and the earth in verse 1. That's the universal. And then the next thing is the animal life. And then the third thing He created is in verse number 27. So God what? Created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now I know we got some Bible students. I would call you a scholar, but you're not. I know we've got some Bible students in here, and the first thing you're going to run after me on that is this. Well, God made man out of the dust of the ground. Now I want you to get me some Bible and prove that to me. Preacher, that's what God said. He created man out of the dust of the ground. No, the Bible said that God formed man out of the dust. He formed man. He made a body looking thing out of the dust. Now get this real good. There's a purpose for that. And then God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Now you heard me preach on this just a few weeks ago. What happened? God from heaven created life in that body of dust. That's why he said, dust thou art and dust shalt thou return. That's why they put you in the grave, amen, when you die. But there's a part of you that was not made out of that dust. It is the breath of God and it's a soul, and God said, it's coming back to me. So you see the creations. You got that, ain't you? There's a part of me that was made out of the dust. God formed me out of the dust. God formed you out of the dust. But He created a life in me or a soul in me. You got that? Now if you missed that, you've missed a whole lot. You get in trouble. So now we find God has created man. So that's we see it in the stages that God's done. Now I want to go back. We was talking about the kingdoms. We said a while ago, there's the kingdom of the devil. There's the kingdoms of men. And then we know man's kingdoms have got so many things. And I want to say this. There's coming a time that the leadership and God's going to take care of all the kingdoms. We read enough out of the book of Daniel and Revelation to know that the kingdoms will be put to an end. Man will not have a kingdom when it's all said and done. That's going to be his, I'm talking about. He won't have a kingdom. But he'll have one. And it's not going to be long until on the scene steps out a political leader. According to the book of Revelation, we find out that the political leader will be none other than the Antichrist. And the stage is being set today for the Antichrist, who is opposite Christ. That will be a political leader, and that political leader will rule and control the entire world. So you folks who think of the United States of America is going to be right in number one, right out in front, understand this morning, that God is going to raise up a political leader that's going to rule the world. And America's not the center. Going to go to the Middle East. Then on top of that, there will be another that will rise out that will be a spiritual leader. During that day, that spiritual leader, he'll be called the false prophet. Amen. Rightly so. Prophet is always going with religious. You got it? So the false prophet steps up. There will be a one world religious system. And a one world religious ruler. You'll find that in Revelation 13. I don't have time for it now. But there's also going to be another that steps out called the dragon. The old serpent. The devil. Lucifer. And he is going to control the political leader and the religious leader in efforts against God. And that'll be when man's kingdom and the devil's kingdom come together. Brother, it's instigated all by the devil. Amen. But then there's the third kingdom. We got the kingdom of the devil. We got the kingdom of men. And then thirdly, we've got the kingdom of God. That's where we started off with a while ago. Now the kingdom of God is in three stages. Listen to this. I'm talking about the will of God. What is the will of God for your life? Number one, to save you. Number two, to get you ready to be what God wants you to be. You got that? I mean, this is a subject I'm just scratching the surface. I wish we could take time and get down into this. Now the Bible talks about that kingdom of God, and I want to say it's in three stages or three stages. We'll just say it that way. Three stages. The first stage is found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. To jot that down, write the scripture down. And it's called the kingdom of His dear Son. And the Lord said in that verse that He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. at salvation, when you got saved, the kingdom of God entered into you. You understand what I'm saying? When Christ came in, His kingdom came into you. That's one stage of it. That's the first stage of it. And then in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, the Bible said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So the Bible talks about that there is a kingdom of God, and it is in you and me who are saved by God's grace. Then the second stage of that kingdom of God is not just living inside the saints of God, but it's a literal kingdom that will be established upon this earth. You with me? There will be a literal kingdom established upon this earth. It's called the millennial reign. Now, a lot of preachers won't preach this, and the reason they won't preach it is because they're not sure of it. And because they've been taught different, and they don't like to follow that, and they got little titles. Well, I got rid of them titles a long time ago. I'm a Bible believer. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're a Baptist?" I'm a Baptist by choice, but I'd rather be called a Bible believer. The reason we got Baptists on our church sign out there is it takes care of a lot of false doctrines. When you put Baptist on it, it means that we believe in being baptized after salvation. Amen. And it means when we put on there premillennial, it means that we believe in a millennial reign. And we believe that the rapture is going to take place before that takes place. Understand, I get in, we don't talk about our titles. But we're talking about this morning the literal kingdom that God will establish upon this earth. And the theme of that literal kingdom that will be established, and there will be a kingdom established one of these days in the Middle East, when God sets up His kingdom, He will rule and reign. And brother, we as His people will rule with Him. I'm not going to have time to get into when we're going to join up and when we're going to get there. But there will be a kingdom, and the theme of that kingdom is three things. Peace. That's what they're crying today in the Middle East. Peace. When they say peace, at peace, and sudden destruction cometh upon them, He said. There will be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes. So, number one, there will be peace. They will take their plowshares and begin to plant. They'll take their pruning hooks and begin to prune. But before they get there, they'll take their swords and they'll take their weapons and they'll make plowshares and pruning hooks, because they'll study war no more. It'll be a land of peace. Secondly, it's a theme of prosperity. They'll prosper. Read the book of Isaiah, you find that they're going to prosper. And third, there'll be praise. Three things that God wants His people to have on this earth is peace, prosperity, and praise. God wants you to do all that. You say, "Well, why is my finances so bad?" It's not God's fault. Amen. Amen. And I'll give you just one more guess whose it is. Amen. Now, we'll go to something else. We'll find that there's going to be the kingdom of God in us. Second, there'll be a literal kingdom that will be established. And to thinking on that just a minute, when you get home, jot this down. I'm just giving you something out of the circle I'm throwing out. I'm going to run a rabbit for a minute. I'm good at that. In the book of Revelation, there's three thrones. In Revelation chapter 4, you find Jesus seated on the throne of His Father. Chapter 4. He's sitting on the Father's throne. That's where He's at now. He will get up, and judgment will come throughout the book of Revelation. Then the next throne we find Jesus sitting on is His own throne. And that's during the tribulation, after the tribulation hour is over, and the Son of God comes back with the saints of God. You'll find in the 19th chapter of Revelation, He comes back and He's crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that reign is set up that I've been talking about. That's the second throne. And the third throne you find in the book of Revelation is when He steps up and sits on the great white throne. And the great white throne is when He calls the dead and hell and gives up their dead. and they stand before God. That that's been in hell is delivered out of hell and brought before Him and judged by the books. And the books will be opened and He will cast each one of them into the lake of fire. You see, hell is just a prison house for the wicked today. They'll be brought out of hell one day and cast into the lake of fire. That's those who have not found the will of God in the first stage of their life. Their first phase. They're 50, 60 years old, never give a heart and life to Jesus. Where are they going to go? They'll be standing at the great white throne judgment. That's the third throne, the three thrones in Revelation. Of course, after that, we know there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, a new city, and a new Jerusalem. Somebody said, did you see that new Jerusalem? It just comes down out of heaven and just floats in the air. Boy, isn't that amazing? I want to see that. Where have you been all your life? This earth is going around and around in nothing. Been doing it for ages. It just come down out of heaven and been circling around the sun. Amen. So why in the world you get so excited about that? Hey, you're on a planet now. It's round, but it looks like it's square. Amen. You're not walking up the hill one day, going over the top and looking down on it and walking down with your head down and standing on your feet on the bottom side. It's round. It's proven the earth's round. The Bible even says it is. The Bible taught it before they ever went and found it. I mean, when they was in Columbus, got out there, thought, well, we're going to sail somewhere out yonder, and after a while, we're just going to fall off. But they didn't. Then they look in the Bible and find out that God said it's round. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Well, let's give you one more. There is the kingdom of God in your heart. There's the kingdom of God on the earth. And then thirdly, there will be an eternal kingdom, which will be established after the millennial reign. And guess what the theme of that eternal kingdom is going to be? Do you remember what I told you the theme was in the garden? God wanted man to be happy, holy, and healthy. And man messed it up. But God's going to put us in an eternal kingdom with Him one day, and we're all going to be happy, holy, and healthy. You said you don't get that. I do out of the Word of God. He said, take the tears away. That means they'll be happy. He said, if take the pain away, make me healthy, happy. And the Bible said He's got a tree over there that's got 12 manner of fruit, and in its season I can get what I want to. I don't have to eat, but I can eat if I want to. And the Bible said there'd be no more dying there. So I'm going to have health. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful thing one of these days to get up in the morning and not have to take pills. And go to bed without taking pills. Amen. You said you're a pill popper? Unfortunately, they give me pills to take. I don't like to take them, but it's better than the alternative. Amen. I'd hate to get rid of that aspirin and that blood thinner, and then the thumper quit thumping. And you said, well, you don't know what? It did once before. Amen. And I said, well, preacher, all you need is a new heart. Yeah, amen. I'll get one. Literally. I've already had one spiritually. And I've had one physically, but it ain't much punking now. Some fella advertised, you want to get a heart check? Said, get a heart check. And I said, I'll get a heart check. So I pulled it up on the computer screen and started answering the questions. And I knew where he was going the first time. And he said, when we get through, we'll tell you exactly how you are. And I knew how I was. So I just wanted to see what it said. I went through all the questions, popped up there and said, high risk! I knew that's what he was going to say. Amen. High risk. And I thought, boy, and he advertised and said, I'll tell you how to be healthy. I'll tell you how to be healthy. At the end of it, so he did. At the end of it, he said, now send me some money and I'll send you a book. They'll tell you how to stay healthy. Went through all that to find out he's wanting to, hey, making money. That's all it's all about. Glad I'm going to get to a place where I'll be happy, healthy, and holy. I like that holy too, don't you? Amen. Are you in the will of God, the perfect will of God? That means that you're saved. That means you've given your heart and life to God, and it means that you're following Him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's the perfect will of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Amen. It's one of them smart messages you get us to keep preaching on. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. The Lord's sure good to us, and we give Him praise and glory. May the Lamb of God touch every soul. Let's stand. 354 in the blue book, if you need a book. 354, let's sing. Are you in the perfect will of God? Are you in the perfect will of God? Are you where God wants you to be? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Are you His child? Do you know the Lord Jesus?